got a lot tied up inside. Got Jesus on your mind. And a boy that just won't fight. Baby, it's a grind.
All right, and tonight is episode 8 of This Conversation Rocks, the long-awaited H is for haters. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Are we going to introduce ourselves?
Oh, right. So I'm Diane.
And I'm Todd.
I guess I'm just kind of assuming that the three people who are listening to us on a regular basis know who I am and know who you are.
It's 10. It's 10 people.
Are you sure?
I'm going by the fact that my friends wouldn't lie to me about it.
I think it must be 9, because I'm still thinking about the person who published the iTunes review and then retracted it.
Come back.
Come back, little fella. We won't hurt you.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny. I have no idea what that was about, but... Anyway, to the person who gave us the second good review on iTunes, again, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. We have 2 5-star reviews on iTunes, and we're trolling for more. So please, if you like our show, go on iTunes and review us. We would love it. So I got to tell you, before we get started, I'm a little floored. I've been at the office all day. I worked relatively late, so I hadn't watched or listened to any news. And I just kind of caught up on the news about what's going on in Baltimore, and I'm just stunned.
Yeah.
Don't know what to say other than that.
We got a problem in this country, and we need to fix it.
We do. And, you know, the stuff that... So, you know, everybody knows that I'm on Facebook a lot, and the stuff that's coming across my Facebook feed is just so stunning. It's either, you know, full bore support for the police, hate the rioters, or it's full bore support for the rioters, hate the police, and there's just no middle ground. And I'm just not quite sure what to make of it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Suspect we'll talk about that more at some point, but I just had to say, it's almost surreal. I felt like I crawled out from under a rock when I looked at the news tonight.
Yeah, I can see that. But hey, you know, you tune into this podcast to be enlightened or to laugh or something, right?
So I guess one of the things that I wanted to spring on the listeners is that we did decide on a little bit of a format change. Not really a format change, but I think we finally decided that we were going to adopt the Act 1, 2, and 3 format instead of belaboring one topic to death. So it'd be nice to have some feedback from people and see what they think about that.
Assuming that this episode ever gets released and people can actually provide feedback.
Right. So Act 1. Are you
Act
ready?
Act 1. Yes. Yes,
so,
let's do it.
Act 1, I begged Todd to talk about the Hillary haters because they're driving me crazy. So the way I figure it, we've got approximately 17 months, give or take, before the general election. And I thought I was going to be able to hang in there, and I'm starting to gradually lose it already.
Driving you crazy.
Well, I got to tell you, the thing that finally tipped me over the edge is that one of my friends posted a thing that basically said, if you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, you might as well unfriend me now.
Wow, that's harsh. I mean...
I know.
So this is the thing, right? I've been kind of dealing with this since 1995, sure.
Only 20 years.
Right. I mean, just the polarization and everything.
Right.
You know, I got conservative friends. I got liberal friends and stuff. I don't want to lose my conservative friends just because, you know, I'm going to vote for people they don't agree with. You know, any more than I would.
I'm the same way.
I would think that they would want to lose me as a friend just because they're going to vote for somebody I don't agree with. I mean, when it's all said and done, right? It doesn't always matter as much as people want to believe it does. Here's the truth. And then we can move on to the hate mail and everything for Hillary
right,
hate mail.
Right.
The thing is who is on your school board? Who is on your city council? Who is on your hospital district board? Who's on your utility district board? Have far more impact on your daily existence than who the president of the United States will ever matter. Right? You know, and we get all wrapped up in all of this nonsense about, you know, Obama's a secret Muslim, or, you know, Hillary's a lesbian or whatever. And it doesn't matter that much who the president is. The president generally can't move the country too much left or right. Have you noticed, guys? It's completely polarized, and Congress is not going to allow anything to happen anyway.
And Obama still hasn't taken your
guns. Obama still hasn't taken your guns. The economy's better than it was when he started, and gas prices are at the lowest they've been in a decade. but you know, for a certain segment of the population, none of that would matter. I get it. None of that matters. I mean, the thing is something like 30% are just hardcore. And that's on the left and on the right.
You know, and I gotta say, I thought the world was gonna end when George W. Bush won the Supreme Court. I'm not gonna say won the election, won the Supreme Court. And you know what? We ended up in a war that I didn't agree with. We ended up with a shitty economy. The world did not end.
No.
Right?
As much as I would like to say otherwise, no, it did not end. But
and you know, I have a friend who's a libertarian, and I really struggle with libertarian philosophy, but he repeatedly posts this quote by Thomas Jefferson on his Facebook page, and I think it's true. It's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and it says, "I never considered a difference of opinion in politics, religion, or philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend."
Oh, that's great.
And so when I see something on somebody's page that says something like, "If you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, just unfriend me now," it just feels like an arrow to the heart. I mean, especially when this is the same person who I agree with in so many other ways. We believe that all people have the right to marriage equality. We believe that women should be paid at the same rate as men. We believe that women have the right to choice. You know, so for someone to post something so blatant like that, it's just, it just kills me. So that was the thing that pushed me over the edge in terms of, I got to start talking about the Hillary hate now because it's killing me. And I don't know if I can live with another 17 months of it without getting some of it off my chest. So that was what did me in. And then I just started kind of taking note of some of the stuff that's splashing across my screen. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the couple of things that really got me is some of it is so misogynistic. You know, really, this is stuff that would never be said about a man. For example, I've seen women posting stuff like, "I ain't voting for Monica Lewinsky's ex-boyfriend's wife."
I know, I saw that one. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Right. So first of all, how many philandering presidents have we had, including John F. Kennedy, who is the liberals' president, right? Would anybody have ever said something like that about JFK?
Yeah, different times, right? I mean, that's all Gary Hart's fault, right?
Right. And I mean, the other thing is I actually watched this really awesome TED Talk by Monica Lewinsky. I don't know if you watched that when I posted that.
I've seen it, yeah.
And I think that just the values we have around the way that Monica Lewinsky was really persecuted at that point in time, it's probably really different now. We probably would have treated her really differently now than we treated her then. So just kind of that whole misogyny around that, and the way that Hillary and Monica kind of walked away tarred and feathered, and Bill Clinton walked away fairly clean.
Well, it just says a lot about,
you know,
a lot about how we see men and women in the society, right?
Right.
Men, a man who's having an affair is a stud. The woman he's having it with is a slut. And the wife, well...
is an idiot.
Yeah, is an idiot, right? For staying with him. Which...
or an old bag, or unattractive, or... I could go on. So, I mean, that was one of the things that bothered me. There is a Milwaukee County supervisor named Deanna Alexander, who is kind of a bright and shining light in upcoming light in the Republican Party. She's young, she's sweet, she's attractive. And her whole thing is that every time she tweets about Hillary Clinton, every time she Facebooks about Hillary Clinton, she refers to her as ovary.
Yeah.
Someone confronted her about it, and she said, well, frankly, I think the only thing that she brings to the table is that she would be the first female president. She has nothing else to offer.
Yeah.
So she was a senator. She was... Secretary of State, regardless of what you think of her politics, to say that the only thing she has to bring to the table is that she has a vagina is not okay.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
It's blowing me away, and I probably shouldn't let it blow me away because I know that there's so much dislike of Hillary Clinton out there, but... I just think it's going to get worse as the election season pushes on.
Oh, yeah, of course. But here's the thing to remember, right? When the Republicans have got nothing, i.e. for 20 years, all they got is, you know, to scream and yell about how bad their opponent is, right? Shame on us for believing it. Shame on us for letting that influence our votes. You know. There's no, we don't have debates in this country. We have Facebook arguments, you know, that look like something out.
And popularity contests.
Looks like something out of Mean Girls, right? You know.
You're right. You're totally right.
You know, so welcome to America, perpetually 12 years old.
That's perfect.
Because yeah. Because if it's not Mean Girls, it's a bunch of 12-year-old boys walking around telling dick jokes.
Well, you know, and the other thing, so some of the other stuff that I'd seen, someone else posted a picture of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in the style of the Dumb and Dumber movie posters. And I'm like, really? Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, Dumb and Dumber? Don't you mean to put George Bush and Dick Cheney on that picture? And I'm not saying that just because they're Republicans. I'm saying that because George Bush is truly fucking stupid.
True. Cheney, not so much.
You know, Cheney, not so much. No, I have to give Cheney credit. He is truly, truly intelligently evil, yeah. You know?
Yeah, he's Darth Vader.
He truly is. Chaotic evil, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, this is just going to continue, right? And the thing to always remember is that it's just signal to noise, and, or actually noise to signal, but anyway, it's just noise. I mean, the reason it's so much noise is because they got nothing. They got nothing because they do not have a candidate that they can put up who's going to say, well, this is really my worldview and how I think we should handle things and have people go along with it. Because that's not going to happen. Well, if any of these guys who have currently announced actually really said what they believe in, everybody'd be like, yeah, we're not voting for you.
And that's what I've got to say. So, you know, I've kind of started thinking about, am I crazy about Hillary? No. I mean, the truth is, I would really like to see the Democratic Party field a good candidate because I think she's got problems. I mean, I think the whole idea of Hillary being inevitable, that's a problem. You know, I was listening to Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago, and he said the whole idea of Hillary being inevitable went out in 2008.
Yeah, but...
And I think it's a good point.
It is a good point, but on the other hand, this is what we're going to get. You know, Clinton, Unless there's somebody in the Democratic side who jumps up. Because, I mean, you know, 8 years ago, Barack Obama came out of basically nowhere. But,
right.
You know, I'm not sure that's going to happen again. It's going to be, it's her time. And I want
to
put.
It doesn't have to be. If they would field a good candidate, or for that matter, if there was a good third-party candidate. But it's not going to happen.
No, because, well, third party, we won't even talk about third parties in this country. It's a wasted vote, right? For the most part.
Well, I certainly don't want to see a Ralph Nader situation again. I mean, I'll be honest with that. If I had to choose between Hillary and a third party candidate that was going to jeopardize a reasonable outcome, I would choose Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, well, all I can say is that it wasn't Nader's fault. Al Gore, this is the problem, right? Al Gore had nothing to say, and nobody wanted to vote for that guy. Or it wouldn't have even been close enough for, you know, it was Gore's to lose, and, you know, congratulations, he lost it. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, pragmatically, I don't give a crap who the Democrat is, right? I'm voting for him at this point because the guys the Republicans are putting forward, and probably soon to include a couple of crazy women, too. These are people right. I can't vote for no matter what.
Well, and so that's the other thing. You know, I mean, I kind of want to say a couple other things about Hillary and my concerns about her, but then I do want to talk about the Republicans. And not to bash on the Republicans, but to say, come on, you guys, give me something to work with. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not looking... I know you're laughing at me, but I'm not looking at Hillary as inevitable. I do think she's got problems. The Clinton Foundation just came out a couple of days ago and said that they've made, quote unquote, tax mistakes. And, you know, my thing is, when you have that much money on your side, when you've known for years that you're running for the presidency again, how do you make, quote unquote, tax mistakes?
Yeah, but...
You know? I know, we can make all the excuses in the world, right? But they have an army of accountants on their sides. They've known that they're running for this. How do you make fucking mistakes like that?
No, you're right,
right?
You're right. I'm not even going to begin to defend that. We'll see what those tax mistakes actually are, and then we'll deal with it at the appropriate time. Look, I mean, I'm not going to lie, right? Everybody who becomes president is a crook. You know, everybody. There's no reason to be.
Which is super sad.
Is
I mean,
it?
And you're right.
Is it sad? Or is it, you know?
Okay, the idealist in me says it's sad.
Okay, and I mean.
I didn't want to believe in 2008 that Barack Obama was a crook. I really wanted to believe that I was voting for something good. You know?
All right, fair enough.
I really, really wanted to believe that I was voting for change. I really did.
We all want to believe that we're voting for change, one way or the other, right? Each side. I mean, and that's the beauty about America.
Yeah.
Is that we're all voting for change, and change just doesn't fucking happen.
So back on Clinton, because I'm going to keep steering us back there. So the emails. I mean, I know you and I have talked about that before, and I know you don't think it's as big a problem as I do, but when you've got that many emails floating around out there, innocent or not, that creates doubt.
Oh, it only creates doubt because people are sitting there saying you should be doubtful.
But it nonetheless creates doubt.
But the thing is, it's smoke and mirrors, right? And by the way, until you brought that up, that's been out of the news now for weeks. So thanks a lot.
And you know what? Because I said it's going to be back in the news. Because there are so many people listening to our podcast who report the news.
Tomorrow morning, Clinton headquarters. Who the fuck are these assholes on this podcast?
And so, you know, one other thing, and then I'll let it go. But because I've got a fairly short list of things that bother me, but they are problems. She's a hawk. She's as big a hawk as the guys on the right.
Oh, no shit, right? And so,
you know?
So, like, Barack Obama is, like, the only guy we've had who's a Dem who hasn't been a hawk for a long time.
Right.
Right? They're all hawks, right? Clinton was a hawk, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, yeah. But, again, so this is the thing, right? The difference, I remember this from the Stewart Show, during the re-election, Obama's re-election cycle, right? And there was Romney, and there was him, you know, there was Romney, and there was Obama, and there was, You know, a bunch of other guys, the Republicans, right? But basically, I mean, this is the difference in foreign policy, right? And how hawkish everybody really is, right? The Republican stance was basically, I will do anything to protect Israel up to and including nuking Iran. And Obama's position was, I will do anything to protect Israel and will consider bombing, dropping a nuke on Iran. Okay.
Right.
Like, so, you know, and yeah, even Obama's kind of hawkish, right? Because, I mean, what was that Libya thing? Boy, that was just like, hey, we can score some real points, look big and bad, and get rid of some cruise missiles.
You right.
know, you got the platinum package, courtesy of the United States, because you got oil. I mean, the truth of the matter is, why are we voting for any of these people? It just encourages them.
Right. We're voting for these people because we can't bitch about the outcome if we don't vote, right? Isn't that what they say?
But I'm here to tell you, most people don't even bother with that anymore. They just bitch. And here's the thing, I guarantee you, whoever wins this election, it'll just be 30% of the people will represent the hardcore opposing side, and we'll be talking about whatever, everything, you know, which is basically Lewinsky Benghazi emails for Benghazi from Lewinsky, Lewinsky's email about Benghazi, you know, whatever, right? It just, okay.
All right. So you gave me another one that killed me. Top four reasons not to vote for Hillary Clinton. And people listed off the names of the four people who were killed in the Benghazi attacks. I'm like, really? Seriously?
Yeah, but you know what? They couldn't do... Whoever wrote that shit had to look up those names. I guarantee it. They don't know. You know, and so anybody who gets behind that, they're like, yeah, absolutely, I'm outraged. Motherfucker, you didn't know who the ambassador was in Libya? Because you don't know who the ambassador is to, say, freaking Russia. Which is kind of a...
Okay, so my hunch is that person didn't even know how to spell Benghazi, because honestly, I'm a well-educated person and I had to fucking
exactly.
look it up.
No, Benghazi okay, is just smoke and mirror. Again, it's all smoke. It's all smoke. There's no fire. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how many hearings they've had about this up on Capitol Hill, but it's more than 10. And during that entire...
Oh my God, I can't even...
During that time, they haven't fucking found anything. If they had a case of, like, fucking conspiracy, cover-up, fraud, whatever, somebody would have gotten charged.
Okay, again, well-educated person can't fucking count that high.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many hearings they've had, can't count that high.
No, I got it. Look, I mean, I think the only thing that Congress has spent more time on, and on it...
Is repealing the Affordable
Care
Act.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's the second... thing. The third thing that they've spent all their time is on fucking steroids and baseball.
Oh, no shit.
Because that's been, you know, boy, that's been weighing on my mind, and I'm sure that's been weighing on the minds of the 10 listeners we've got, like, no tomorrow, man. holy shit, okay, Jose Canseco took steroids? No!
I'm going to tell you two more things that killed me, okay? And then I want to talk about the Republicans a little bit. So Wayne LaPierre, head of the
douchebag
NRA,
of the day,
said, douchebag of the year, man, douchebag of the decade. So he said, 8 years of one demographically symbolic presidency is enough.
I'm surprised the guy was able to use the word demographic.
but that's his rationale for not voting for Hillary Clinton, because apparently the fact that we voted for a symbolic president, aka Barack Obama, the black man, that was sufficient. So we shouldn't vote for a woman. Ugh! So as if being a misogynist wasn't enough, he had to compound it by being a racist as well.
Well, again, and not making any excuses for this guy, because this isn't an excuse, this is a reason. He's a fucking dying old white guy and can't die soon enough. I mean, and that's basically part of the problem in this country, right? Is that the white power structure is really starting to feel threatened. You know? Because, oh my God, women are actually in the workplace. Oh my God, women are actually in real jobs. They're no longer your fucking fuck toy on Mad Men, you know.
But we're still only making 70 cents for every dollar that you guys make. It's true. Still drives me crazy. I even saw a study that said that male nurses make more than female nurses do. I thought we at least had some fucking equality there. Ugh! Okay, so last thing about Hillary Clinton's announcement and the whole Hillary hating that made me crazy. My friend, who I work with, she shall remain nameless, walked up to me and one of the docs that I work with, who's just as liberal as I am, if not more, the day after the announcement and said, "Well, I bet the two of you are happy." And I'm like, really? So do you think I'm going to vote for one of the Republicans? Because here's the deal, and this is the segue into the Republicans, right? So show me somebody who's got a platform I'm going to vote for. None of them support marriage equality. Ted Cruz actually introduced legislation this week in the Senate that would basically make it legal for all of the states that don't yet have marriage equality to say no if the Supreme Court rules in favor of marriage equality.
Because, Ted, that's how it works. If the Supreme Court says something, the states definitely get to say something else. And you want to be,
because that's the way
you
want to
be president. Fuck you.
I just read a thing tonight from one of Jeb Bush's evangelical supporters saying that he supports defunding Planned Parenthood.
Well, what Republican? So what, like, Republican doesn't?
But what I'm saying to you is, so far they're not giving me anything to work
on. Oh, I know, right? I mean, I know, and it just, I mean, let's just put it all out there. We get it. You guys, right now, your candidates, here's your platform. No gay marriage, no abortions, defund Planned Parenthood, defund...
Fuck you if you want to earn equal
pay. Defund...
Fuck you if you're poor.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely fuck you if you're poor. Defund public radio and public television. Not entirely sure what your problem is there, but, you know, Big Bird makes you crazy.
And if you're Rand Paul, defund education.
Oh, it ain't just Rand Paul. It's just Republicans in general on that one. And, you know, my friend Bob would say it's because the Republicans want a stupid electorate so that they can still keep getting elected.
Well, so here's the deal. We're a hell of a lot easier to control if we're fat, tired, poor, and stupid.
God bless America. Wow.
So, you know, here's what I have to say. Here's what I have to say about Ted Cruz, because he's kind of the capper for me right now, and you know where I'm headed. So there was a quote that came out over the past week and a half, and this is actually from Ted Cruz when he was in college debate. It was an attempt at a joke. Not fucking funny. I think it actually really shows just how disgusting he is and what his attitudes about women are like. He said that God should give women a hymen that grows back every time she has intercourse with a different guy, because that will be a visible sign of the breach of trust. So this is what I want to say to Ted Cruz. Why don't you go have a nice cup of shut the fuck up?
The best thing we can do with that fucker is just let him talk.
You're right. I mean, I really don't think that there's any chance that he's going to get the nomination.
No, I mean, the sad truth really... is, you know who is going to get the nomination out of the current...
It's going
right,
to be
yeah,
Jeb
it's
Bush.
It's going to be Bush Clinton.
It's going to be Jeb Bush, or it's going to be Marco
Rubio.
It won't be Rubio.
It will not be Rubio. It'll be Bush and Clinton round two or three, whatever we're on. I don't know. Two and a half.
So... But I gotta tell you, the thing that's killing me is just already 17 months away from the main act, and this is the kind of acrimony that people are throwing at each other. People are telling me to stop being their friend because we're gonna vote differently from each other. Not okay with that.
It sucks, but...
So I don't know. I don't really have anything else valuable to say about the Hillary haters, except I'm probably going to need to rant about them again over the next 17 months to kind of get it off my chest a little bit, because I think I'm probably going to explode before the election gets here and goes away.
Sure, but as long as that's all they got is just this noise, we're in good shape.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I think that the Clintons are not going to misstep even worse. I don't put it past them.
Hey, Democrats, dragging defeat from the jaws of victory since 1994.
Amen, man. That's what they do. Absolutely.
One of those things, right? Registered Democrat, but that's because I just won't be a registered Republican, and I want to vote in the primaries. So there you go. But yep.
And no offense to anybody listening who's a libertarian, but quite frankly, I think the libertarians are too goddamn selfish for me to register as a libertarian.
Besides, you guys represent less than 3% of the vote. You have no impact, right? I mean, this is the truth. No impact. Same thing with the Greens and everybody else, right? You know, some of you guys I really love, some of you guys I really hate, but it doesn't matter because none of you matter because, you know, you're not going to get elected. You don't have the numbers.
Can I tell you who my dream candidate is, and you're probably going to laugh at me?
Tell me who your dream candidate is.
I love Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's good. I like him. I like him, but he's not going to run.
I know.
Yeah, and the thing is that, hey, all the Republicans have to do is actually get a real candidate, and they might have a shot at this. You know? It's all like...
And, you know, so here's the thing, and I can't remember if we talked about this on air or off air, but we've talked about it before. There was a time when McCain was running against Bush 2. I'm pretty sure it was the first run against Bush 2.
Yeah.
I actually thought that I might have seriously considered voting for him.
Aren't you glad you didn't?
So it's not like, well, I'm glad I didn't, but, you know, it's proof positive that there actually has been time I've thought about voting across party lines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I would absolutely refuse to vote for a Republican, but, you know, they got to show me something better than I'm going to defund Planned Parenthood and take your choice away.
Right.
They got to show me something more than that.
Hey, I voted for Bush Sr.
Did you?
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't.
in the first go around, I voted for Clinton the second time, but.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who... Oh, he was running against Dukakis.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. I think I was just shy of being able to vote in that election.
So yeah, my first presidential election that I could vote for, I did vote for Republican. And I have voted Republican, but not for a long time. Governor of Alaska was probably the last time I voted Republican, and that didn't even work out for me.
Well, so there you go. I guess you could say that I voted Republican in the last gubernatorial election in Alaska because I voted for the compromise ticket with Malott and Walker, and look how that worked out for me.
Well, you guys are just weird up there.
So, yeah. Well, tell me about it.
All right. So, shall we move on? Are we done here?
Yeah, let's move on to Act Two.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, Act Two, You wanted to update us on the measles outbreak in California.
It's over.
it's officially over.
Hey, so this is from the California Department of Public Health. So that's California or CA.gov. In December of 2014, a large outbreak of measles started in California when at least 40 people who visited or worked at Disneyland contracted the measles. The outbreak also spread to at least half a dozen other states. April 17, 2015, the outbreak was declared over since at least two 21-day incubation periods, 42 days, had elapsed from the end of the infectious period of the last known outbreak-related measles case. Just for people who missed it, measles is a highly contagious viral disease, widespread among many parts of the world, including Europe, Africa, and Asia. Boy, that would be like everybody else. Measles begin, South America, I guess. Measles begin with a fever that lasts for a couple days, followed by a cough, a runny nose, conjunctivitis, also known as pink eye, and a rash. The rash typically appears first on the face, along the hairline, and behind the ears, and then affects the rest of the body. Infected people are usually contagious from about 4 days before their rash starts to 4 days afterwards. hey, the way you get around this is children should be routinely given their first dose of the MMR vaccine at 12 months or later. The second dose is usually administered before the child begins kindergarten, but may be given 1 month or more after the first dose. And for anyone planning to travel internationally, the California Department of Public Health strongly encourages all Californians to make sure they are protected against measles and other dangerous diseases before they go abroad, you dumb fox. Oh, I'm sorry. That last part wasn't actually there on the website.
Another thing you can do if you're not sure and you want to be sure, you can get a thing called a titer, which means you can have blood drawn to check your immunity.
Really? Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can. That's yeah. You totally can.
Yeah, considering I should do that. Considering I was in the Army and I'm probably immune to just about everything, but you never know.
Oh my God, you probably are immune to more than you realize.
Yeah, I'm probably immune to things that you're not legally allowed to be immune to in the United States.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you know, so far it's working out okay. I'm not too worried about it. But anyway, so we got past this. This is good. But there, again, you know, going back to what we've said before time and time again, there's no real reason that this should have happened, that it should have gotten this out of control. But here's why it happens. California, personal belief exemption. Parent or guardian may have a child exempted from required immunizations if immunization is contrary to his or her beliefs. Schools have standardized procedures for parents and guardians who request personal belief exemptions. You know, the state doing what they can does go on to say, exemptions to immunization should not be taken because of convenience. Unimmunized students are at greater risk of contracting diseases and spreading them to their families, schools, and communities. Schools should maintain an up-to-date list of students with exemptions so that these students can be excluded from school quickly if an outbreak occurs. Or, you know, maybe should just be excluded from school. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
You did say that out loud.
Wow. Should edit that out.
Nah, don't bother.
Okay. 2014, a new California law modified the process for obtaining exemptions for one or more immunizations required for child care or school based on personal beliefs. Similarly, Bill 2109 requires documentation that healthcare practitioners have informed parents about the vaccines and diseases. The form below fulfills the documentation requirements. Well, at least they're giving you guys as primary care providers and stuff a crack at trying to convince parents not to be stupid.
Well, so I do my best, but even trying to be gentle and kind and still say this is a really good idea, if people are convinced, they still shut me down.
Yeah.
I talked to somebody today who's got immune compromise, who really should be vaccinated to protect herself against a variety of adult diseases, and she won't get vaccinated. And I attempted to explain why she needed to do it, and she won't. So logic doesn't work.
Okay, but hey, on California trying to get something right. A bill that would require more California children to be vaccinated before they enter school passed the key Senate committee Wednesday, as more than 100 parents protested that it would deprive many young people of a public education.
Wait, I thought
they
it
brought
died.
It back. I knew they were going. I knew
they
that
did.
They would. If something's getting protested, just put it away for a week or so because they can't afford to come back.
Right, or people will forget.
Yeah, so they didn't get nearly as many people out there this time. The measure cleared the Senate Ed Committee on a bipartisan 7-2 vote after its authors agreed to changes that would make it easier for parents to homeschool their children if they decided against immunization. All right, well, that's a whole different downside, but, you know. Okay. Anyway, Bill's going to the Judiciary Committee next. And that 7-member panel includes 5 people who have already voted for or are co-authors of the bill, so that's going to go through. And then it has to go to the Appropriation Committee where it may get killed, and then it gets voted on the Senate floor, and then if it gets past that, it goes to the Assembly where it'll go through the same stuff, and it's not going to happen this year. The legislation, though, would eliminate parents' option to exempt their children from state-required vaccination on the grounds of personal belief. The only waiver available would be for medical reasons. There you go.
So I do want to point out that there also was some information that was just released within the last week. There was a new study of almost 100,000 children over an 11-year period, which completely, once again, discounted the link between MMR and autism. That's the thing that people freak out about. That's, you know, that's the reason that people choose not to get the MMR. And this was done by the National Institutes of Health, just released no link between MMR and autism. So one more time, it's been disproven. I don't know how many more times we have to tell people that this link does not exist. It simply does not exist.
It doesn't exist. It's like Bigfoot. It's bullshit.
And for more conspiracies, go back to...
What was it, episode 3?
Episode 3.
I'm going to have to start keeping track.
I know.
I mean, we're doing all right. That's 8 for 10 weeks that we've managed to get a podcast out.
So, you know, we had kind of talked about doing public service announcements, and we've kind of fallen apart on that. But I thought on the heels of updating people about the measles outbreak, I would just do a little public service announcement about adult vaccines. So the vaccine that I wanted to talk about this week was the Zostavax, which is the shingles vaccine. So basically any adult who had chickenpox is at risk of getting shingles. Basically what happens is when you have chickenpox, the chickenpox virus can go to sleep on a nerve ending. And if you're really stressed or immune suppressed, that virus can get reactivated and give you a shingles outbreak. And I don't know, have you ever seen anybody with shingles?
No, unfortunately, I have not.
Okay, so let me tell you, here we go with the expletives again. Really fucking painful. So I just can't even tell you how painful it is. Usually it's a big rashy outbreak. Very often it's preceded by pain in the area where the outbreak is going to happen. 2 or 3 days of pain. One of the cases that I really remember pretty clearly is we had a lady come in with horrible, horrible deep hip pain. No hip injury. Couldn't figure out where the pain was coming in. Came in like 3 days later and that had this horrible rash. And sure enough, it was shingles. And that hip pain was the warning that she was getting ready to have a shingles outbreak. The thing that is really problematic about shingles is that if you don't catch it early enough and get on antivirals, you have a much, much higher risk of ending up with a long-term chronic pain condition called postherpetic neuralgia. So basically what happens is you have to catch the rash within and get it diagnosed and get on antivirals within 5 days of having the shingles outbreak to dramatically reduce the risk of having that long-term chronic pain complication. Not everybody gets it, but you do have higher risk if you're not properly treated. So we now have a vaccine that can significantly reduce people's risk of getting shingles. It doesn't 100% mean that you won't get a shingles outbreak if you get the vaccine, but it really reduces your risk. Let's see. So how safe is it? I'm looking up in one of my awesome little books that fits on my iPhone. That's the amazing thing these days is you have a total primary care reference that will fit on your iPhone. It's incredible. So most of the people who got the shingles vaccine, and we are looking at a study of nearly 40,000 people over a 3-year period, had no or mild health-related limitations. So we're talking 89% of the people who were studied. Let's see, there was a 51.3% reduction in the incidence of people who actually had a shingles outbreak. And there was a 66.5% decrease in the incidence of postherpetic neuralgia, which is that complication of long-term chronic pain. So, pretty significant change in people's experience of shingles in the people who had the vaccine. Very, very safe. My experience has been that people who get it, you get a little bit of a fever, you get a little bit of an achy arm. Those are really the risks with getting the shingles vaccine. The one thing that I will say is that I do run into some problems with insurance companies wanting to pay for it. For some reason, they seem to be more willing to pay for it if I write a prescription and send a patient to a pharmacy that does vaccines versus having it done in the office, which I think is a little crazy, but I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to get a patient vaccinated. Not approved for kids. It's approved for people over the age of 60, but actually the FDA has done an expanded indication, so we can actually vaccinate people as early as the age of 50. So I would really, really indicate, or really, really urge rather, people to go ahead and get Zostavax if they did have chickenpox, because it can prevent a pretty serious outbreak. The other thing I would say about shingles is that if you get shingles in your eye, it can really be serious. You can actually lose vision in that eye. So that's another argument for making sure that you get your shingles vaccine. So that's my little public service announcement. If you had chickenpox, when you turn 50, get your shingles vaccine.
Act three.
Act three. So Act three, it's a little bit of old news now because it's taken us a couple of weeks to get back up and running with our new equipment and with our new program. But for me, Act Three was about a pharmacist who worked at a Walmart in Georgia who refused to give a woman who was having a miscarriage a drug that was going to help her complete her miscarriage without having to go and have a DNC. So, for people who don't know, a DNC is a surgical procedure where they go in and they scrape out the uterus to help someone who has already miscarried. So that means that there is not a viable pregnancy, there is not a fetus to be aborted, it's not an abortion. It's just to help that woman safely complete a miscarriage, not get sick, not get an infection, not bleed to death. So it really is about safety. If you give this drug called misoprostol, you can actually keep a woman from having to have a DNC. So this woman went to try to get her misoprostol filled. She actually went to two different pharmacies in her hometown in Georgia and was declined by two pharmacists. One of the pharmacies was at a Walmart that she actually used to work at, and the pharmacist basically said, "I can't think of any legitimate reason that you would need this drug." Which basically means that she was saying, "You are trying to abort, and I'm not giving this to you because I don't believe in abortion." And she cited a conscience clause, which is basically a clause that allows healthcare workers to say that they don't want to participate in a procedure that they find morally objectionable. So I posted something a couple weeks ago on our Facebook page about how many states have conscience clauses.
Yeah.
And there are six states that have conscience clauses specifically like this one in Georgia, and there are six other states that have really broad refusal laws. And then there are other states that have similar laws that, and the chart that I posted from the Guttmacher Institute really broke it down cause by cause, like the morning after pill versus a medication like misoprostol versus a procedure like abortion. So I thought that that was pretty complete, and I didn't want to attempt to duplicate that here. But my thinking was, somebody looking down their nose at someone who is miscarrying, first of all, a miscarriage is really
Yeah.
tragic. And most people who are miscarrying a wanted pregnancy. So for someone to be saying, "I can't think of a reason you could possibly need this medication," when this woman is already suffering the loss of a pregnancy that she wanted, is just incredibly cruel. But the other thing is, it's kind of like a pharmacist who is a Scientologist looking at someone who's depressed and saying, "I'm not going to give you Paxil because I don't believe in psychotherapy and I don't believe in psychiatry."
Right. That would be Scientology. But no, sorry.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it just rankled me on so many levels. And I just really strongly feel that someone who can't look past their own beliefs and take care of someone in good conscience should just get the hell out of the profession, whatever profession they're in.
Oh, I mean, I take
care of people that are objectionable all the time, you know? I mean, I really disagree with decisions that my patients make on a daily basis, but you know what? It's their right to make those decisions.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've said it before, the reasons that I ask patients to leave my practice are if they lie to me, especially if they lie to me about things like controlled substances like narcotics, if they're abusive to my staff, or if we truly do not have the resources to meet their medical needs. Those are the reasons that I ask patients to leave my practice, not if I disagree with their health right. choices.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, the thing is that you shouldn't be able to do that. You know, shouldn't be able.
You definitely shouldn't be able to veto what medication a prescriber wrote for a patient. I mean, I don't think a pharmacist should have that ability.
Not over personal beliefs.
No, I mean, definitely if it's unsafe, like if I wrote the wrong dose or if I wrote the wrong medication for the wrong condition, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing is that we use drugs for off-label reasons all the time. I mean, that pharmacist could have argued that using misoprostol to complete a miscarriage is off-label, and that's true. Off-label meaning that's not what it was originally made for. But I looked it up, and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists actually says that that is a perfectly safe, acceptable, and routine off-label use of that medication. So that person really didn't have a scientific leg to stand on, but she certainly thought she had a moral leg to stand on.
To that we say, go fuck yourself.
Why do I have a feeling you're going to be playing your favorite new song in this portion?
Until I get a cease and desist order from the RIA. It's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval. Listener feedback.
So I actually need to go to our Facebook page because we got really nice feedback from Amy Forstadt of the Because Show. And we actually got a new listener because of the Because Show. So I just wanted to say
we love
thanks.
You.
Yeah, we do. And you know what's really funny? I've actually started listening to the Because Show and they crack me up. First of all, because their life is so different from mine. It's really interesting. You know, they live in LA. They have very different interests and very different lives than I do. And it's really kind of this voyeuristic little glimpse into a life that's not mine. And I'm really enjoying it. So I thank them for that. And I've really enjoyed their show.
Excellent.
But I especially thank them for the awesome shout out that they gave to us. And I'm hoping I can find Amy's message to us because that was really cool. Hey, this conversation rocks. I gave you guys a big shout out on the Because Show this week. I've been listening to your show and I really like it. As I said on mine, you guys are liberal, smart, and you swear a lot. What else could somebody want in a podcast? Give the Because Show a listen and check it out. So that was really great. And then because of Amy's review, we got a new listener named Judith.
Yeah.
And she's been great, and she's been posting a lot of stuff on our Facebook page, which is really great. And then because of a friend of mine named Darren, we got a listener named Henno, who's left us some great messages, including saying that D is for Dinosaur was a great listen. So we really appreciated that. And Brooke told me she really liked hearing her name mentioned on the podcast. So there you go. Hey, Brooke, how are you? So that's my feedback in a small nutshell. Have you got any feedback?
Just normal actually, Bob in Seattle is like, where the hell's the podcast? So, he likes to listen to that on Friday nights while he's drinking, so
Right on. Does he play our drinking game?
I think he just opens a bottle of wine and just so yeah, just thanks to everybody who does take the time and listen and stuff, and we think that's amazing that anybody wants to listen to us, so
We really do. It's really pretty cool.
thank you very much, and thank you very much for putting up with the fact that we've had some technical difficulties, but I think we're okay and we're not going to have technical difficulties anymore, I hope. At least not for several weeks.
And as you've seen on the Facebook page, we've got some beautiful new equipment, and Todd is figuring out how to edit even better in Audacity. So I think we're gonna really make some leaps forward here technologically pretty
God, I hope
shortly.
so. God, I hope so.
And I just have to thank Todd for doing all of the editing because it's definitely outside of my scope.
Hey, I love to learn something new. All right, all right. So, moving on to. Oh, by the way,
All right,
I
you got
do. I
yours?
do. This is great. So,
Okay.
this is for this is about Rick Santorum, and we will
All
wait while you
right.
Google that. That's Santorum. Please Google that. Okay. Now that you've Googled it.
And your eyes are
So,
bleeding.
I'm looking at some numbers and stuff. The latest Fox News poll has him at less than 1% support.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Santorum is behind Ben Carson, who has 6%. I don't even know who that is.
That's the guy who is the
Okay.
neurosurgeon.
Right.
He's African American and he's a neurosurgeon. And he's still a
Has he done? Has he held
douchebag.
political office? Probably not.
No.
Chris Christie also at 6%. Donald Trump is at 5%. And
He hasn't even
no, of
announced,
course
has
not.
he?
And none of the above lead Santorum with 3%. So I just want to say out there to everybody, hey, keep Googling Santorum. Keep that fucker down.
And Dan Savage likes to say that Santorum will be present on your gay wedding night if you're doing it wrong. So my, oh, by the way, sorry, I'll let you catch your breath there.
Oh my God. There you go. Wait, I got okay, so since we're going down that path, did you see the thing about the Drexel law professor who inadvertently emailed all of her students the porn link?
No.
It's a nothing thing, right? It's hilarious because it was a pretty explicit porn link, it turns out.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
So anyway.
So how could you be like, I
How do
mean,
you
I have to
accidentally include a link to a porn site as compared to
Right.
deliberately doing it? Yeah, I honestly.
'Cause here's the deal. You know, it's a specific number of keystrokes to copy and paste a link on, at least on a Mac. You know, I have to really think if I'm going to copy and paste something on my computer. It's not accidental.
Well, yeah, I
Just
mean, it's not
saying.
like, okay, so I mean, here's the bottom line. It's not like you weren't looking at it. It's not like you weren't on that page because
Right.
otherwise you wouldn't have the link to paste in. I'm sorry. I just,
Right.
as an IT guy, every time somebody says, oh, no, I wasn't looking at porn and that's why your computer screwed up, I don't ask you any questions because I don't really care. Well,
You just
yeah,
fix it.
because. Which, by the way, is why I don't work on home computers anymore. I don't want to know that much about people I know. All right, what do you got?
you know, I have a lot. So one of them, this came from today, and this is kind of a call, this is not my big, oh, by the way, but this kind of is a callback to episode 4, Teleute, which was our episode about death. So I saw a patient today who has a terminal illness, and she came in with her daughter, and the patient has been having a ton of anxiety. And I got to tell you, because of that episode, I was able to say, have you guys talked about death and dying? Have you talked about your mom's terminal illness? Because this is really where this anxiety is coming from. So I really feel like this podcast has been really liberating in so many ways. And it's really helped me. I'm pretty good at having some hard conversations anyway, but it's helped me have those hard conversations even more easily than I have in the past. So thanks.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And I feel like I was able to make a difference for them. Because instead of being freaked out, the daughter said, I've been trying to get her to talk about that for months. So it was helpful. It really made a difference. Yeah. And in a good way, I wrote a pretty personal blog about a job that I left in 2009. And I left it under pretty hard circumstances. Basically, I worked at a really small rural hospital. And we lost our chief executive of that hospital, and we had someone who was kind of an unknown quantity take over, and he turned out to be a pretty big tyrant and ended up really decimating the staff, decimating the nursing staff, people who'd been there for years and years and years. I mean, when I took a job at that hospital, you basically had to wait for someone to retire or die to get a job there. Decimated the physician staff, basically took this beautiful little hospital where we had all really created a family and a community and destroyed it. And I realized after talking to a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in a really long time on Saturday that I had not grieved it. And I ended up crying for quite a while on Saturday after talking to that person and wrote about it. And my blog just went crazy. It was really interesting. And I realized that some of my friends had not really grieved it either. So that was pretty cool to kind of get that out and talk about that.
Excellent.
But that's not really my oh, by the way.
Okay, well, then please tell us your oh, by the way.
Okay, so my oh, by the way, and I should be kind of embarrassed that this is my oh, by the way, but I'm going to say it anyway. So Bruce Jenner. So I did watch the Bruce Jenner interview because I'm strongly interested in all things trans and in kind of what his transition, or I guess I should say her transition, is going to do with, for, and to the trans community. Did you watch the interview?
I did not.
So it was interesting. It was at times sad. It was at times kind of irritating. There were definitely times that my teeth were on edge. I felt really sad for him, for her, more than anything. I just worry about somebody who's coming out under that kind of public scrutiny, that kind of public pressure.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I look back on the amount of mockery that she's experienced over the last several months, and that makes me really sad. But I also look at the people who are really great, strong, amazing trans role models who don't necessarily get nearly the amount of attention. And I just want to remind our listeners of some of those people. So I've talked about them before. I love Kristen Bech. Kristen Bech is the Navy SEAL who the book Warrior Princess was written by. There's a documentary about Kristen Bech called Lady Valor. I love Laverne Cox, who most people know from Orange is the New Black. Buck Angel is amazing. Buck Angel is an adult film star and a director and a trans advocate. And I actually just downloaded a book by Janet Mock, who is a trans woman who is also a very outspoken trans advocate, and I'm really interested in reading that. So just really want to remind people that there are other stories out there that don't have the sensationalism that's attached to Bruce Jenner, and there are people out there who are really advocating and who are really bent on making a difference for trans people. And I also wanted to bring to people's attention that there's a group on Facebook called Trans Lifeline that is really actively working to prevent trans suicides. So if you know or love someone who is in the process of transitioning, who's struggling, I would really encourage you to support Trans Lifeline. So that's my big oh, by the
Oh,
way,
that's excellent.
tonight.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And the other th two other things. So I was really shocked that Bruce Jenner came out as being really conservative. That was even more shocking than her coming out as trans. And someone made a really funny comment on one of the things that I looked at, which is, Bruce, you do realize that all of your conservative compatriots are still going to want you to use the men's bathroom. Right?
Yeah, well, in Indiana.
In Indiana. So that's my oh, by the way. I think there's more to come. I think there's more. I think hopefully we'll learn more and maybe Bruce will be able to emerge as an advocate as well, but.
Look, you know, this is the thing, right? I live in La La Land, right? And
I know
this
you
is
do.
all just part of La La Land, as far as I can tell.
I know. Yeah.
He's already signed a deal. He's already signed a deal for a reality show on E.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't. You mentioned some people who are much easier to look at, understand, and everything. Unfortunately, the Bruce Jenner thing is just. Got a lot of complications with it, you know, because of time on the Kardashian with the Kardashians and on the Kardashian show,
Right.
and you know.
I do have to say that she is saying that she's hoping that the show about her transition is going to be something that will be helpful to people, and I hope that's true. I hope it's not just about sensationalism, and I hope that it really is something that will be useful to people who are transitioning. But there are just so many voices out there that need to be heard that I don't want people to lose sight of the activists who've been out there in the trenches for a long
Exactly.
time. Kristen Beck is running for Congress.
Go.
Kristen Beck is an amazing
Go, Kristen.
person. Yeah, Kristen's running in Maryland. So, gosh, if we have any reach to Maryland, which I doubt that we do, but if we have any reach to Maryland, go Kristen. Buck Angel does speaking tours all over the world. Buck Angel lives in California.
Of course, because. Everybody lives in California.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
except me. Hey, Amy. And Susan from the Because Show. Anyway, I don't know. That's my big oh, by the way. I was gonna blog about it, and then I thought, yeah, God and everybody is blogging about Bruce Jenner, but I really do feel like I have to say something about it because it's a pretty big
It is a
thing.
big thing, right? And
I think my fascination is empathy for people who aren't comfortable in their skin.
sure, and I can agree with that. Absolutely agree with that.
And you know, listening to the interview, it really does sound like Bruce Jenner has never been comfortable in Bruce Jenner's skin.
And that truly is too bad and really unfortunate.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to not be comfortable in the skin you were born into. And I hope that we come to a place where we understand that. It also sounds like there was a really awesome interview on public radio this morning. Let me find that reference real quick, and then I promise I'll stop yammering. But I wanted to share that. Shoot. Are you laughing at me because I'm
I'm
yammering?
laughing at you because you got to go look something up again, which will take another.
Oh, stop mocking my horrible, horrible connection. I just have to remember who posted it. So this was on public radio, and it was on WBR in Boston today. And it looks like you can listen to the piece online. It was played between 11 and 12 on their site in Boston today. Anyway, it was a piece about transgender issues. So I'd really encourage people who have an interest in it to take a look at that.
Excellent.
Anyway, I have an ongoing fascination. Like I said, I think more than anything, it's being fascinated with people who are uncomfortable in their skins because I get that.
Sure.
On an entirely different note, I have a funny and totally unrelated Neil Gaiman quote to go out on.
Well, let's go out on it.
So, do you remember the little running joke in Good Omens that any cassette tape that stayed in Crowley's car for anything longer than a fortnight turned into a greatest hits of Queen
Yeah,
tape?
but by the way, that's real. That's real. Having had cassette decks and cassettes for many, many years, that really happens.
So that's the setup for people who haven't read Good Omens, okay? So any tape that lives in your car for more than a fortnight, which if you're not English, that's 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so any tape that lives in your car for more than 2 weeks becomes the greatest hits of Queen. So here's the quote, because I just thought it was super funny and it brought back a good memory of the book. And Aziraphale is Crowley's buddy. Crowley is a demon. Aziraphale is an angel. And I'm not going to set it up any more than that. You got to read the book. It's an awesome book. So here we go. Ah, this is more like it. Tchaikovsky, said Aziraphale, opening a case and slotting the cassette into the Blaupunkt. You won't enjoy it, sighed Crowley. It's been in the car for more than a fortnight. A heavy bass beat began to thump as through the Bentley as they sped past Heathrow. Aziraphale's brow furrowed. I don't recognize this, he said. What is it? It's Tchaikovsky's Another One Bites the Dust, said Crowley, closing his eyes as they went through the slough. To while away the time as they crossed the sleeping Chilterns, they also listened to William Byrd's We Are the Champions and Beethoven's I Want to Break Free. Neither were as good as Vaughan Williams' Fat Bottomed Girls. There you go.
There you go.
Read Good Omens.
Oh, absolutely, right?
All right, my friend. Until next week.
All right. Have a good night.
Yep, you too. Good night, everybody.
And we're out. You got a lot tied up inside. And a boy that just won't fight. Baby, it's a grind. And this your bitter life, where nothing just won't do. The girl pleads, the woman needs a wedding ring. Just won't do.
The boy dreams, the man deems himself a king.